Over a week ago, Saturday, a militant terrorist group launched a wide-scale attack on the nation of Israel. Hamas barbarically killed over 1,300 Israeli citizens, including the mutilation, decapitation of not only women, but young children. And according to news reports, this terrorist attack seemed to catch Israel maybe a little bit off guard. Why? There's a lot of speculation about that, but it shouldn't have caught us off guard. It shouldn't have caught people of the word off guard. If you'll remember back in the beginning of 2023, all the way back in January, we started a series through the book of Genesis. We went all the way up to the 11th chapter, and we stopped there. But even in that time, we looked at the time of Noah, if you'll remember. And in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 11th verse, it reads, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of," help me out, what's it say, church? Violence. The earth was corrupt in the eyes of God, in his sight, and it was full, it was possessed of violence or cruelty. Interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for violence is the word Hamas. Violence, cruelty. And the spirit of Hamas was alive and well and corrupting the earth. And we know from Noah and his story what God's judgment came upon that spirit of Hamas was the flood. And everybody with the spirit of Hamas, the spirit of violence and cruelty, was wiped off the face of the earth. Only those who had the very spirit of God living with them, Noah and his family, survived on the ark. And God started creation over again. See, what's going on in the Middle East is a tale as old as time. And coming in 2024, we're going to pick back up the story in Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to talk about the beginning of the nation of Israel, because God is the beginning of the nation of Israel. Just a real quick history lesson in Genesis chapter 12. God came to a man by the name of Abraham and told him he was going to become the father of nations, and God made a covenant agreement with Abraham. God promised him land, God promised him descendants, God promised him blessing and redemption, that all people would be blessed, redeemed, and restored through his seed. Well, as time would go, Abraham grew old in life, his wife Sarah as well, and they were unable to conceive children, and they became impatient. Sarah became impatient. Is God ever going to fulfill his promise to his part of the covenant? And so she brought to Abraham a woman by the name of Hagar. Had her husband sleep with this woman and conceived a child. His name was Ishmael. But in time, God fulfilled his promise, and Sarah's womb was open, and Sarah also conceived a child, and his born a son to Abraham as well. His name was Isaac. Interesting enough that Ishmael, if you trace it out in Genesis, you'll find that born of Hagar, he becomes the father of the Arabs and the Palestinians, if you will, Islam. Isaac, birthed through Sarah, carries on the lineage of Abraham, which is the Jews. Here's what's interesting. Note, you have one man, Abraham, who now has two wives, two sons, but only one covenant. And the question, since that day forward and even into today, is who owns the land that was promised? Which lineage is the inheritance of this covenant that God made to Abraham? From which side of the family will come the Lord? See, this simply isn't about politics. This isn't about socioeconomic. It's not all just about power. It's spiritual warfare that's taking place. Spiritual warfare. And if you go back in Genesis chapter 16, the 12th verse, the Bible even talks about Ishmael and who he was. The Bible says this about him: he is a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility towards all of his brothers. Now, I don't want to pretend that I understand fully or get the full picture of what's transpiring in the Middle East right now. I don't. I cannot comprehend the immensity of evil. I cannot fathom the grief and the loss of life. And quite frankly, the typical thing for me to do this morning, we'll just press on with our Southern Sayings series, because that would be a lot easier than to stop and have to talk about what's really going on. That's the American thing to do, and sometimes that's the Jeff Boyer thing to do. Just think positive thoughts and push onward. But the biblical thing to do is to lament. And that's what we're going to do today, together as a church. We're going to lament the violence. We're going to lament the racial strife. We're going to lament the loss of life. We're going to wrestle with the question, why does God allow such evil? For men and women to die, for wives to become widows, and children to become orphans. And yet, even as evil continues to escalate in the Middle East, whether it's Israel versus Hamas, or Israel versus Hezbollah, or Israel versus Iran, we also know that there's a war raging in the Ukraine. We know there's unrest and protest in the streets and cities worldwide, people spewing angry vitriol and propaganda. And yet it makes the news, and yet there's other things going on that never seem to make the news, like the gangs who are running rampant in the nation of Haiti. And we have organizations called Black Lives Matter that say, well, all Black Lives Matter. Well, do they in Haiti? Because nobody's talking about it. Gangs fed by cartels are overtaking a city and killing innocent people, kidnapping people. Do their lives matter? Sex trafficking is taking place within and beyond our very borders. And it makes news headline, and it's terrible. It's gut-wrenching when you know that even children are being beheaded in Israel by this terrorist group, Hamas. And yet, according to Guttmacher Institute, last reported, they haven't reported since 2020, but last reported in this nation, 930,160 abortions have taken place. Do we care about those lives? What are we to make of this? We're going to stop, we're going to pause, and today we're going to lament. What is lament, you say? Well, probably most of us don't know because we're not used to it. We're not used to doing it in this gathering. But I'll give my best stab at it. Lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart that's wrestling with the paradox of pain and the goodness of God. Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much violence and cruelty if God is so good? It's a question of doctrine of theodicy. Where did evil come from? Why does evil continue to exist? In a broken world where we live in an increasingly hostile culture of hate and evil, I don't know, but I know this. Lament is an appropriate response. Lament is a biblical response. And yet, let's just be honest, for many of us, you don't have to travel 6,100 miles to Gaza. Because for some of us, the pain, the hurt, the suffering is in close proximity. You don't have to travel any considerable distance. Because some of you seated in this room, some of you watching this online, for you, it was the pain of the death of a spouse. Maybe it's the death of a child, death of a mother, a father, a brother, or sister. For some of you today, you walk in here with the pain of the loss of a relationship, not by death, but by hurt. And once who were friends or once who were close family are no longer close. For some of you, it's the news that the cancer's come back. For others, it's a wayward child or a wayward grandchild. For others, it's a broken marriage. Either separation or led to divorce, and it's an addiction. For some, it's a diagnosis of terminal illness. And for some of you, it's just the fact that I always feel alone. Well, today, I want to encourage us together to lament. Lament is simply this. It is gut-level honesty with before God. And for some of you, that's where you need to go today. Because for some of you, life has felt nothing but a roller coaster ride of ups and downs and twists and turns and drops and dips. And you're saying to yourself, man, when is this ride going to quit? Let me off. No more. That's you. Let me instruct you today from the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, open them almost to the middle of your Bibles. If you're looking at your phone, then turn with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. The book of Psalms has 150 Psalms. And of those 150 Psalms, 40% of those Psalms are what we would call Psalms of Lament. Did you know that there are more songs of lament, of sorrow, of bitterness, of suffering and pain than there are of praise and thanksgiving and wisdom? Well, let us rush to the Word of God. Allow me to read into your hearing the words of David that are recorded in Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? You can just hear that gut-level honesty oozing from David's being. That raw emotion is something that you'll find in the Psalms often. As a matter of fact, 22 times you'll find that phrase, how long? It's a question. Not only is it a question about time, it's a protest. God, how long are you going to allow this to go on? How long? 22 times you'll find that in the 150 Psalms. What's interesting to me is David repeats that same refrain, that same two words, how long, 4 times in 2 verses. How long will you forget me forever? Times when it seems that God has forgotten you. I feel like you've forgotten me, Lord. David says, how long will you hide your face from me? Times when it seems that God cannot be found. I feel like you've abandoned me, Lord. How long, David says, must I wrestle with my thoughts? Times when my thoughts are not good nor holy, but they are fearful and anxious. How long will I have to day after day have sorrow in my heart that's continuous without pause and my heart hurts? God, I feel trapped. How long will my enemy triumph over me? These external, real dangers. I feel like I've been defeated, Lord. This, my friends, is a common human experience. He's telling God how he feels. I feel like you forgot me. How long is that going to be? I feel like you've turned your face from me. You're not paying attention to me. I feel like I'm wrestling in my head and in my heart, and there's no end to it. God, I feel trapped by this. And I feel like my enemy is always upon me, defeating me, beating me down day after day, hour by hour. See, when we encounter trying circumstances, and we do it during an extended period of time, where we're asking, how long? We can feel abandoned by God. We can begin to assume that evil is winning. My friend, I know this. Let me be honest with you. You're going to go through times when it feels like God has hidden his face from you. You will. I have. You're going to feel those times when you wrestle with your own thoughts, when your heart is full of sorrow, when you face real dangers. So the question is, when that happens, what should you do? Let's learn from David. Let's learn from somebody who's gone before us. You see, David told God how he felt. He laid it all on the table. He spilled his guts, if you will. I mean, what if you and I, instead of trying to hide our struggles and act like we got it all together, what if we were to see our struggles as something that God wants us to bring to him, to share our soul with him? David does not suffer in silence. As the church, we can learn from that. As the church, we need to learn to become comfortable with being uncomfortable around each other. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Sometimes when someone shares their raw and honest feelings, too often we don't know how to react. We don't know how to respond. The person who shares them feels like, well, they're going to think I'm really immature and I ought to be further along in my faith. I shouldn't be feeling these things. And because people don't know how to react and respond, they become uncomfortable, especially with the awkward silence. Some will rush to change the subject. Others are quick to find the bright side of things, the positives. They say well-intentioned things like, God's going to use you to help somebody else. God must know he can trust you with this. You know what? I really don't want to be used for God for somebody else. And I'd rather him entrust that to somebody else because I really don't want to go through this. Thank you very much. Do you ever feel like that? to be honest with your emotions. See, people don't know how to join us in our grief and our sorrow. They mean well. Their attempt to help, yes, it's greatly appreciated. Lament is just an unfamiliar terrain. See, David not only told God how he felt, but we see in the psalm, David asked God to help him. Did you see it? Look on me, answer me, Lord my God. Give me light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. I love this. David did not sit in silence, nor did David waste time complaining to people who cannot fix the situation. David did not go out and leave the church. He did not just deconstruct his faith and say, I'm quitting gathering together with the church. No, he told God what he felt, and then he asked the only one who could help him to help him. Did you hear his ask? Look on me. God, turn your attention toward me. Answer me. I need to hear from you, God. Give me light to my eyes. We don't know the circumstance nor the occasion that troubled, that threatened David, but we do know that David knew that without God's help, without God's sustaining and strengthening hand, defeat was certain. And so he told God how he felt. He asked God to help him. And then in verse 5, after that lament had taken place, watch this. There's what I call the intentional shift that David made. But I trust in. The facts of my suffering may say this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices, God, in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. But I trust in. You see, trust is believing what you know to be true, even though the facts of suffering might call that belief into question. That's where some of you are today. Here, you know what the Word of God says. You know that it's true. It's just that your suffering is speaking so loud. And it's speaking so loud that it's calling your belief into question. And so David knows he has to make this intentional shift, even though my suffering says this, but I trust in, tells himself this. My friend, don't make the mistake of thinking that trust is something that you once and for all decide and as you're walking through pain and never have to do it again. It's not as if you pray a lament prayer and you never have to lament or be sorrowful again. Life is not that simple. Grief is not that tame. It's not. Instead, you and I have to enter into lament over and over and over again. Why? So that it keeps leading us back to trust. See, trust equals active patience. Did you hear that? Trust is active patience. It's not passive. It's active patience. That's what trust is. You see, lament is necessary. Why? Here's why. Because in between the hard stuff of life and God's promises is this wide open space. Lament is how you and I live between the hard stuff and God's promises. When all you see and feel is the hard stuff, tell God. Lament, tell him how you feel. Ask him to help you, and then do what David did. He reaffirmed his trust in God. I'm going to have the band, hopefully you're listening backstage, to come and join me on the platform. And we're going to do something a little different today. Some of you are going to be stretched out of your comfort zone, and that's okay. But in these next few moments, we're going to practice lament. You should have received a little insert when you walked in from one of the ushers. If you did not and you need one, I have some up front. In just a little bit, there's going to be a lot of emotion, a lot of movement. So you're not like, I don't want to walk up there and get one. I didn't get one, but I want one. But if you want to look a bit towards the back, there may be some ushers that could hold, give you some as well. But before I ask you to move, here's what I want to instruct you. I want you to reflect on what hard thing in your life you need to talk to God about. What is that for you? Maybe right now, every time you turn on the news, every time you look at social media, it's about this Middle East conflict that's going on. You don't know what to think about it. You don't know what to feel about it. You feel like I ought to be able to, I want to do something, but I don't even know what to do. Cry out to God. Tell him how you feel. You see, the same God of Jacob, of Moses, of David and Mary, that same God, he is with you. He's with me. So tell him how you feel. What is that hard thing in your life right now? Write it down. And then tell God, God, right now, I'm feeling what? What are you feeling? Are you feeling abandoned or afraid? Alone, angry, or anxious? Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're cynical. Maybe you feel defeated, depressed. Maybe you become a little edgy and frustrated. Maybe for you it's a sense of helplessness or hopelessness. Maybe you've got hatred in your heart or your heart is simply heartbroken. Maybe you say, God, right now I'm feeling impatient. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling tired, trapped. I'm feeling weak. I don't know what it is as you relate to that hard thing that's in your life, but tell God, would you write that in there right now? Then I'm going to ask you to do the second thing that David did. Not only did he tell God how he felt, he asked God to help him. In a little bit, we're going to sing this song as we worship him. Some of you are going to come and you're going to kneel at an altar and pray. Some of you are going to maybe fall prostrate on the ground. Some of you maybe just want to stand and raise your hands and worship the Lord today. But listen to the words. When you ask God to help you, oh God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. As you tell God how you feel, as you ask him to help you, to make the intentional shift and reaffirm your trust in him. See, lament, this moment where we get real and gut level honest with what we're feeling, what we're thinking, during that moment, we move from the why to the who. Lament moves us from what's happening and the why, it moves us to the who. And for the believer, the who is Jesus. Because when we lament and Jesus meets us in that grind and the in-between, between the hard stuff and the promises of God, we change inside us. Listen, the situation may not change. This conflict in the Middle East, this war with Israel, it may go on for weeks or months or years. What happens in the in-between for you and me here with whatever you're warring with can change. You can turn your heart back to say these words, but I trust in your unfailing love. I trust in your salvation. I trust, even though the evil around me speaks so loudly and the suffering is screaming, I trust in your goodness. Today, God, I stand upon your faithfulness, even when I don't feel so faithful right now. The band's going to begin to sing this song, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to move. If you're willing, I'm going to invite you to bring the piece of paper. You see others who have gone before you, and they came up and they, in an act of symbolism, laid it on the altar and said, God, this is what I feel about this hard stuff right now that I'm dealing with. It's what I feel inside. Hey, maybe you wrote more than one adjective. That's okay. Give that all to God. And then as you lay it down. Whether you want to kneel at that altar, whether you just want to lay it down, as you lay it down, say, God, help me. Meet me here in this lament moment. And as you do, I'm going to do everything within me with your help to intentionally make the shift to say, but I trust in you. I don't know. We got 15 minutes. We got till the end of the service. This is what we're doing. This is your time. If you need to pray, if you need to confess sin, if you need to turn from sin, if you just need to come and lay your feelings, this is your time. But I'm going to ask you to stand with me and allow me to pray with you. God, in this moment, Holy Spirit, move in this place. Any distraction in people's heads or their hearts, anything that would cause them to want to pull back, break it down by your Spirit, its power. As my brothers and my sisters tell you how they feel and ask you for help, meet them in that lament moment, in that lament prayer. Lord, we don't always understand our pain, and we can't always comprehend your sovereignty. And so today we just surrender in humility and say, God, help us. Guide us. Turn your attention toward us. Speak deeply from your Spirit to our spirit and give light to our eyes today as we proclaim our trust in you. It's in Jesus Christ's name, who is the same God today, yesterday, and forever, that I offer this prayer as we respond. Amen. Feel free to move. You're not going to insult them. This is what we've asked for you to do. Feel free to come and pray.
Oh God, my God, I need you now. answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
Gathered in this place today to worship you, but even more to that, to run to you. Many have knelt at these altars, some are kneeling even now, God, and I pray that you meet them right where they're at as they tell you how they feel, what's going on the inside. They ask you to give them help and aid. I pray for each one that has, as they stood back to their feet, God, I pray that you'll help them make an intentional shift, that even though their suffering speaks so loudly, they might be able to reclaim as David did, but I trust God in his unfailing love. Our situations may not change. Circumstances may continue as they are for quite some time. And as we lament, Lord, would you take us in a journey in our heart that takes us away, even though we're in the midst of it, away from the hard stuff, lead us to the promises of God. Thank you that you are the same God to yesterday, today, and forever. We love you, Lord. Amen. Before you go, I want to say these things to you. What we did at the communion table was a celebration. Because Jesus Christ inaugurated the defeat of sin, death, and all tears. It hasn't reached its final consummation yet. And there will be days where we're going to continue to need to lament, but there will be a day when the need for lament will be no more. You see, at the back of the book, it says this: He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You see, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no need for any songs of sorrow. Only praise will be the air that we breathe and that we exhale. No more sighs, no more fears, no more tears. Heavenly praise will replace our earthly groanings, church. But until that day, we live between two worlds. We walk between earthly brokenness and heavenly restoration. And so for now, lament is the song of our journey. So even this week, bring your sorrow to God. Keep talking to God. Don't quit. Keep leaning in and trusting in His sustaining and His strengthening hand, because He loves you. He truly loves you. Go with the Lord. He'll go with you. We'll see you next time.